Amen, brother. God don't give up. Stand with me. Psalm 16. Appreciate the good testimonies tonight. If you're here visiting with us, we're glad we're saved. We're glad the Lord's on the throne. And we've got no sad stories to tell on our God. And so that's all this about this evening. People just excited about the Lord and what He's doing in our lives. Psalm 16. Let me read this in its entirety. I don't know that I take the time to preach all of it this evening. We'll see what the Lord does. The Bible said in verse 1, Psalm 16, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lands are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." That's what we've been testifying about tonight. And in the Lord we have a goodly heritage. In verse number 7, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." I will bless the Lord. Let me back up there. David said, "I am going to make myself bless the Lord." And on Wednesday night, midweek, prayer meeting, hump night service, amen, sometimes you just got to make up your mind, "I will bless the Lord. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it." Amen. "My flesh don't want to, but I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." And here's where we'll take our thought from for this psalm tonight. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This evening we'll do this psalm. You pray with us for a minute. I'll give you maybe a thought or two. I got 7 points of message tonight. We'll give you maybe a point or two, and then we'll go to the house. Father, we love You this evening. We're thankful tonight of being in the house of the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just seemed like, Lord, as people started pulling in tonight, just seemed like there's a good, joyous spirit in the house of God already. And fathers, we've listened to saints of God testify and brag on God and testify the difference You made in their life, how You made the grace of God real to them. And Lord, how You've been good and how You've been using them. And Lord, we give You all the glory for that this evening. I pray for the next little while that God should help us, Lord. I believe tonight, and Lord, there's probably somebody here this evening that's never been truly born again and saved. And Lord, I pray the Word of God, Lord, would hammer away at their heart and break them down and show them their need. And God, may You save them, Lord, even in this service tonight and all that You do. We'll thank You and bless You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. Psalm 16, we didn't read the title above this psalm, but it says, "A Mictum of David." Psalm 16 is penned by David. Of course, God is the author, and it is penned at the hand of David as God has moved upon his heart and upon his life. This title that is given here is one of 6 psalms entitled "Mictum of David." A word "mictum" in this title simply means golden, I believe, tonight. And it could, nobody really knows what it references, but it could very well be a reference to the worth and the value of this psalm in the life of David. As we've read this psalm over and over, David refers to God God and the Lord and all that the Lord has done and how the Lord's been real in his life and how the Lord is moving in his life and how God has blessed his life and how God is going to bless him not only in this life but in the life to come. And so David, I think, is saying that what God is doing in my life is worth that of gold in my life. And can I say this evening, I'm glad that the workings and the dealings of God in the life of God's people and in the life of God's children could be worth more than that of gold. That's why we can testify this evening, as Sister Jennifer did, that it doesn't really matter about the house and the clothes and the money and the things of life this evening. When you got God, you've got something that's worth more than that of gold. This evening in verse 11, I believe that this verse seems to give insight to you and I as to the context of this psalm, as David declares, I believe, his confidence in the Lord to show him the path of life. In this psalm, over and over, David is speaking about how that God is moving and real in his life. He closes his psalm and he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." In other words, God, you are going to be working and moving in my life. You're going to show me what direction to go, what way that I am to take. In another psalm, David put it this way, "At the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Over and over in the Word of God, life is likened to that of a path that men and women and boys and girls are traveling down. In fact, in Matthew 7, the Lord said that there's two paths that a man can take, and there is a broad gate and a broad way that leadeth to destruction. There's a straight gate and a narrow way, and the Lord said leads to life everlasting. And again, the contrast is made, or the picture is made, and life is like we are journeying down of that of a path. You remember in Jeremiah 6, the Lord said to Israel that they were to stand and see and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way. He said, you need to walk therein. And they said, we will not walk therein. And what the Lord was saying is, there's a path of life that you need to journey down and go down. Solomon said this. He said, there is a way, or there is a path. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And so, my friend, life is a path. Life is a journey. And David said, in this path that I'm on, the Lord will show me the path of life that I am to take. In other words, David is saying, my life is wrapped up in God, and my life is being lived for God. He's going to show me the way that I can live to please Him. And thank God, David, I think, has said, and I've got a life with the Lord. Now let me say this tonight. I'm glad that I've got a life with the Lord. I'm glad to know something about living for God tonight. I don't always live for God like I ought to, and you don't either. Amen. You can trim your halo. We see your horns budding up. Amen. We don't always live life for God how that we ought to. But I'm glad for the night that I got saved. Amen. The night that I started down this path and this journey, that word path that David uses there means a well-worn-out path. Amen. I'm glad I got on that narrow way. Amen. The night that I got saved. And let me say this tonight, that life with the Lord, we could say tonight, has many problems. Amen. The great charismatic doctrine out of hell tonight is this, that when you get saved, all your problems go away. You'll never have any bill trouble. You'll never have any wife trouble. You'll never have any husband trouble. You'll never have any children trouble. You'll never have any health problems, Amen. You'll never have any spiritual problems, And everything will be blue sky, sunshine, and rainbows. That is a doctrine out of hell. Amen. Job, the great sufferer, put it this way. that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. A man living life with the Lord, a man has many problems. That's the great Apostle Paul. A man about his life with the Lord. Before he got saved, a man friend he had. A man good days and sunshine. A man, and then he got saved. And what happened? He had storms. He had beatings. He had stonings. He is left for dead. He is thrown in jail and eventually had his head cut off. Hey, living life with the Lord sometimes has many problems. Amen. You know anything about problems tonight? Amen. Do you know anything about when the bills mount up? Why, since the weekend, our heating and air went out. A septic tank backed up. Amen. I got a bad phone call that I didn't want to get. And Brother Gerald, I'm telling you tonight, amen, it just seemed like even this week the Lord has let me be reminded that though you live for Him, yea, all that live godly shall suffer, Paul said. Amen, persecution, but you're going to suffer. There's going to be problems. There's going to be troubles. There are going to be trials in living life for God. Living life with the Lord not only has many problems, but we can say tonight, thank God it has many possibilities. I'd have never dreamed the day that I got saved that now, some 17 years later, Brother Dean, I'd be standing behind the pulpit of the great Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Newport, Tennessee. I'd have never dreamed I've been and done and experienced the things that I've done and experienced. But, hey man, thank God, living life for the Lord. Amen. As many possibilities. Amen. Can I say great possibilities and good possibilities tonight? My friend, can you imagine? Amen. Where you are this evening, I don't care if you've been saved a month. Amen. Or saved, my friend, 100 years. Amen. Can you imagine, my friend? Amen. Knowing that God was going to take your life and let you have and do and experience things you've done and had and experienced. Since you've been saved, living life with the Lord has many possibilities. Amen. I'm glad God is in the business of using lives. Amen. This evening, Brother Ronnie is speaking of a man walking through the grocery store and testified, and I have no problem believing that he was there 45 minutes to an hour. I've been on soul winning with him. Amen. He's never met a stranger, and he's got an abundance of words and things to talk about. Amen. But is he speaking an ad about reaching out and witnessing it? Amen. What is that? That is the possibility that God can use your life if you'll give it to Him. Amen. Life with the Lord has many problems. It has many possibilities, and sometimes the possibilities that God takes our life and begins to do things with us, sometimes it links into those problems that you and I face. And I'm interested tonight in Psalm 16 and in verse number 11, the Lord said, or David said about the Lord, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." He closes his verse by saying, "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And I want to say tonight that it's true that life with the Lord oftentimes has many problems and it has many possibilities. And life with the Lord does have many pleasures. A word that David uses here for pleasures simply means a delightful times. It means sweet times. It means enjoyable experiences. David is saying that the Lord is going, hallelujah, the Lord is going to lead my life. He is going to show me the path that He wants me to take. And in doing so, the problems are going to mount up. And in doing so, there's going to be possibilities. He'll use my life to bring down giants. There'll be battles that He uses me to go through and bring victory to God's people. And David said, "I'm glad that in it all, and all the problems and all the possibilities and all the conflict, and thank God there are enjoyable experiences there, and there are, my friend, delightful times, and thank God there are good times that come living life with the Lord."
Amen. If we're not careful on that, Jared, we'll get to thinking on the refrigerator blowing up and the septic tank backing up, and we get thinking on the air conditioner going out, and we get thinking, my friend, on the oil and the issues and the problems that we're going through, and we'll forget that, thank God, there are pleasures, many pleasures, on living for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said that the Christian life is made up of valleys, and I would agree with that. But my friend, for every one valley, you got to have two mountains. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to run on that. Amen. Sure, it's one valley to the next. But my friend, if you're in one valley, that means, amen, you've done been on the mountaintop, and you can expect there's another mountaintop ahead. Amen. I'm glad tonight life with the Lord, amen, is enjoyable, and there are many pleasures along the way. Amen. Hallelujah. The good times far outweigh the bad. The enjoyable experiences, our friend, far outnumber the times that we endure life and we just do everything we can to make it. Are those times real? You better believe they're real. Thank God, I'm glad there are many pleasures living life with the Lord. Amen. This word pleasures, I think tonight, amen, is used here by David to describe a life that has experienced good things and much joy. In fact, in our verse, we'll see it. I'm not going to finish this tonight. Amen. I don't know that I want to quit, but I promise you, you can't endure longer than I can give it tonight. Amen. The Bible said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You know what David is saying? David is saying, my life is wrapped up in God being good to me and God leading me along the way. And that even though there are problems and possibilities that perplex me some days, and along the path of life that God leads His own down, there are things to be enjoyed, there are good things to be tasted, there is fullness of joy. That simply means, Brother Ahab, and it gets more than I can handle. Amen. The word fullness means filled and overflowing. Amen. I'm glad. Amen. There's sometimes, man, I feel so empty. There's times, man, I'm so full and it's overflowing. And but then I can't contain it. Amen. That's what David said in Psalm 23. He said, my cup runneth over. There are times when life is so mounted up with pleasure, just my friend, living life for the Lord. And I will show you some things tonight. Seven things I've identified as pleasures, my friend, the pleasures of the Lord on the path of life. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I'll give you maybe the first one, and but then we'll shout a while for the Lord to help us, and we'll get on out of here. But I'm preaching this evening out of Psalm 68 on the pleasures of the Lord on the path of life. The pleasures of the Lord on the path of life. What are the good things that David said that the Lord's going to show me the path of life? And in doing so, the pleasures of the Lord are going to be experienced. Let's look tonight through this psalm. Notice with me in verse 1, we find the first one. Amen. I want to say there is the pleasure of the Lord's preservation. A pleasure of the Lord's preservation. Oh, dear God, help me tonight. Amen. Notice what David said. Let's read it again together. The Bible said, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Amen. David said, the Lord's going to show me the path of life. He's walking down the path of life. And David, my friend, listen, his life is mounted up with problems and possibilities. David begins to ponder and meditate, and he finds the pleasure of the Lord's preservation. A word preserved that David uses here in saying, preserve me, O God, means to hedge about. Amen. There's pleasure in the hedge. Amen. On the path of life. David, my friend, listen, he said, preserve me. It means to hedge about. It means to guard. It means to protect or attend to. David is saying, Lord, I know that you're watching out over me. I know it's you guarding me. It's you keeping me from the hand of the enemy. Lord, it's you that is preserving my soul in this path of life. Amen. It means to watch over carefully. David is saying there's pleasure in God showing me the path of life. Amen. Knowing that it's God that is carefully watching over my life. It means, watch this now. It means to keep an eye on. Amen. David is saying, Lord, I'm finding pleasure in knowing and in the path of life that no matter where I go and what problems I face and what possibilities lie ahead, there is pleasure in knowing. There's a delight in knowing. There is a joy in knowing it. That the Lord God of heaven is keeping his eye on me. Have you ever gone through a storm? And my friend, you think God don't know where I am. And I shame the fact that you've been saved. A fact tonight that, my friend, you're one of his hope. And your life is being lived with and for God. It means that the Lord is going to preserve you. He's got his eye on you. Amen. Sometimes a storm will roll up and we think, man, the sun ain't a shining. My friend, the clouds begin to roll back and the whole time, amen, it wasn't that the sun wasn't shining. It's just that the clouds have covered it up. Amen. Can I say tonight that the Lord has his hand on you and me, and there's pleasure in that thought tonight as we go down this path of light. Here's what Spurgeon said about the word preserve, as it means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, or attend to watch over carefully, to keep an eye on. Spurgeon says, as bodyguards surround their monarch, or as shepherds protect their flock. Amen. An old shepherd in that, my friend, he very, amen, studiously, amen, and very watchfully tonight, amen, and gather his flock in. Amen. So the wolf don't get the sheep. Amen. And the lion don't get the sheep. And the bear don't get the sheep. Amen. What's he doing? He's preserving that a little flock. Amen. Can I say tonight, that's what the Lord is doing for those that have been saved. He's watching over you and I as a shepherd. Amen. The chief shepherd, Peter said, a chief shepherd of our soul. I'm glad I've got one in heaven and earth that is preserving me. A devil cannot have me. A devil cannot destroy me. A devil and earth can't drag me to hell. Why? Because I've been preserved. I have a God that directs me down this path of life. They say of us independent King James Bible believing Baptists, y'all believe the doctrine of eternal security, that once you're saved, you're always saved. You better believe it, son. It ain't me holding on to the Lord. It ain't a me hanging on and hedging myself about. I thank God the shepherd's in heaven and he knows how to preserve those that are his own. Spurgeon said the word preserve means to hedge about and watch over and protect and guard as bodyguards surround their monarch. We have in our nation what we call the Secret Service. And the Secret Service, my friend, they've been trained with a watchful eye. And when, whether you like him or not, he's our president. And I ain't a big fan, y'all know that. Amen. God help us not to get on that tonight. Amen. But it's their job. It's the Secret Service's job, friend, to guard him and protect him everywhere he goes. There's not a second of the day at the Secret Service ain't around. And my friend, they're not a watching and scoping out the dangers that lie ahead, trying to find somebody that would love to do harm to the president. Melchizedek. Amen. Can I say that? Yes. What is in mind here is David said, amen, he found pleasure in God preserving him. And my friend, God was with him night and day. And there was nowhere David could not go. And God was not there as a bodyguard surrounding him. Amen. You can't just walk up the president and shake his hand. Ain't just anybody get with him. Amen. Any close distance to him. Amen. That Secret Service will have you flipped over, an elbow in the side of your hand, and slap the handcuffs on you, and drag you off. And I say the old devil loved to get us tonight. Thank God there's one preserving you and me. Amen. As a bodyguard that has his surrounding, that knows how to put his foot on the devil's neck. Amen. And before he can bat an eye, amen, he knows how to put the handcuffs on the devil. I'm thankful tonight. Listen, if that's all I had, if that's all I had tonight, it'd be a pleasure worth shouting about tonight. I know that I've been saved and that I'm saved and preserved in the grace of God forever and forever. Notice what David said. He said, preserve me, O God, for in Thee, 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 it ain't about me, it's about Thee. For in Thee do I put my trust. The word trust is an interesting word as it relates to the pleasure that David has found in the Lord's preservation. The word trust, it literally means, it means to run to for confidence. It means literally to flee to for protection. Amen. Can I say tonight, that sure does sound like a good word for what happens when sinners get saved. Amen. You was in a life of sin, a life of turmoil. Amen. In a long life's journey, what do? We put our trust in the Lord. We leave that place of unrest. We leave that place where there is no safety. And we run to Him in hope. There is protection and confidence to be concealed in tonight. Amen. September the 14th, 1996. Amen. I ran to the Lord and put my trust in Him. I quit trusting mom and dad. I quit trusting the church. I quit trusting the preachers and her. I quit trusting in myself. And I put my trust in the only one that knows how to preserve those that are His. I say, thank God today I have a place in the Lord where I am saved and securely saved and eternally securely saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm not working on being saved. I'm tonight, my friend, not trying to, amen, merit any salvation. I'm not trying to preserve myself at all. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. We believe in a done, amen, in a done salvation. Amen. Every other world religion preaches do this, do that, be baptized, join the church, thank God on the cross of Calvary. Amen. The Lord cried, it is finished. Teletestai, it's done. It's completed. There's nothing further to do. Amen. I'm glad. I believe it's been done. Because I've come to the one that done it, I don't have to do it. Amen. What pleasure there is in that tonight. Matter of fact, as you run the rest of this song, David's going to speak of rejoicing and rest. And my friend, just in a relationship, it all stems back to this pleasure of the Lord on the path of the Christian life. And my friend, we're saved, and we know we're saved, and the Lord is the one that is preserving us in this path of life. Somebody says, well, I got away from the Lord. How are you going to get away from somebody who won't get away from you? Amen. I don't care what you do tonight, how far, my friend, you quote, backslid. Amen. If you're truly born again and saved, amen, there's something holding on to you. There's a hedge about you. There's a God who has you in the palm of His hand. And my friend, listen, it doesn't matter how deep in sin you get. If you're truly born again, thank God for the pleasure of the Lord's preservation. You got to be careful preaching that in this day, because, amen, somebody say, yeah, I'm saved, hanging on to a beer bottle. My friend, we don't believe that grace and preservation and eternal security is any license to sin. In fact, it elevates the expectation of the life of the believer. Amen, the grace of God, shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound, God forbid. Amen, that grace that saved me is keeping me and preserving me. The God that reached further down than I could reach up, amen, will never let me go. I am preserved. And what pleasure there is in that. The pleasure of the Lord's preservation. Y'all want another? Well, Jerry said yeah, and Jordan said yeah, and Jerry said yeah. Number two, verse two, there is the pleasure of the Lord's position. I'll end on this and we'll pick back up next week. Brother Dane, notice what David said. He said, "Oh my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord." Amen. Now, in your King James Bible, amen, in your old King James Bible, amen, the only Bible, amen, it's important that you understand, amen, the way that God had them translators preserve the Word of God for us. Notice that David said that he makes his statement in his soul to the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the name Jehovah, the Hebrew name Jehovah. When you say, amen, Lord, in all caps, that is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the one that needs nobody else to exist. And David said that his soul has cried out to Jehovah, the one that stepped out on nothing and made everything, the one that before anything was, he could stand and say, I am. The one that my friend needed no permission at and needed nobody to grant him authority to do anything. It was Jehovah that David's soul has come to and communed with. He said, "Oh my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Jehovah Lord, thou art my," capital L, lowercase O-R-D. The word there, the name there, Hebrew name there for the Lord is Adonai. And that literally means Master, the Sovereign One, the One who is in control. Oh Lord, my soul, thou said unto Jehovah, I'm not the boss anymore. You're the boss. You're in control. You're the master. You're the new owner. You're the one in charge. Can I say tonight? Amen. There's pleasure in that tonight. This world, my friend, is reeling it and tossing about under the control of the devil. Amen. Thinking themselves to be the boss, trying to control their own lives. But David said, the Lord's going to show me the path of life. And on that path, there's going to be pleasure. And there'll be many pleasures. There'll be much joy and goodness and delight and sweet times and enjoyable experiences because of the Lord's position in David's life. David don't have to call the shots. David don't have to direct the show. David tonight has relinquished himself, and friend, and given all control of the Lord God of glory. Can I say, amen, amen, he's Lord of all or not Lord at all. I'm glad tonight he is Lord. He is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Thank God tonight he is the sovereign one. He is the master tonight. He owns all that there is. There's great debate about when does he become Lord of somebody's life. And there's a big debate going on tonight about making Jesus Lord of your life. And there's people that say you got to make him Lord tonight. Listen, you don't make him what he already is. He is Lord, period. There's no debate about it. There's no controversy about it. The Bible doesn't leave it up to you to decide. He is absolutely the Lord of all. In salvation, though, there is a bowing and a recognition. You are the Lord, and I'm not, and the devil's not, and the world's not. That you alone are the Lord God of heaven. It's not that we make him, it's just that we recognize exactly who that he is. We come, my friend, bowing our knee. In fact, that's the only way to be saved. And my friend, every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to do that at some time according to Philippians 2. Amen. The Father's given him, that is Jesus, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord tonight. He's the Lord of all. The Bible said, and John said that, and in Revelation 19, right before he comes back in the end of the tribulation period, right as he's ushering in the millennial reign, and he'll have written on his thigh, amen, the name, the title that he bears is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It don't get any higher than him. Amen. Oh, Vance Havner said this. I had an old deacon about a year and a half ago that was trying to argue with me over the Lordship of Christ and as it merits in the time of the gospel and preaching the gospel. Amen. But old Vance Havner said this. He said, when I came to Christ as a young country boy, he said, I didn't know any of the deep doctrines. I'm paraphrasing on that. He said, I didn't know all the deep doctrines in the gospel. He said, but this one thing I knew, and he was Lord, and I had to bow to him. And I say tonight, amen, I'm glad that it dawned on me one day. I didn't know much about conviction. And I didn't know a whole lot about repentance, though I did it. And I didn't know a whole lot about the hypostatic union of Christ. Amen, and his deity and being all God and all man at the same time. This one thing I knew, on September the 14th, 1996, at about a little after 4 o'clock in the morning, I rolled out of my bed, bowed on my knees, and said, I know you, Lord, and I know you're the Savior, and if there's any help, amen, for me to make it in life, you've got to be my Lord. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, since that day, amen, I'll be honest, there's been days I've worried I shouldn't have worried. There's been days I've been afraid I shouldn't have been afraid. Amen. In fact, amen, that is true throughout the Word of God of all God's children. Amen. I'll close on this. But old Isaiah, he was dear friends with King Uzziah. Him and Uzziah was friends. Uzziah loved God. And Isaiah and Uzziah, my friend, they loved one another. They loved God. They worshiped together. They was one another's heroes. The day come, they went out the graveyard, throwed Uzziah in the grave of his forefathers, and Uzziah walking around kicking dust, amen, dragging his tracks out, wondering what in the world's it going to go on. He loved God. He kept the nation clean and red, amen, and now we got his boy coming on back behind it, and things are not going to be what they ought to be, amen. And it was while he was dragging his tracks out, and he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. Oh, Isaiah couldn't stay down. He couldn't stay worried. He couldn't stay fretful. Amen. He got his eyes lifted up. And I say, on the path of life, if you look at your problems, you ain't going to find no pleasure. Hey, if you look at the septic tank backing up, you're going to get mad and kick something or somebody. Amen. Amen. In them midnight hours when the AC ain't working in the middle of the summer and this ungodly heat and you can't sleep, you'll lay there and be mad at God and mad at your wife and mad at your youngins. Think about choking your mother-in-law in the next room. Amen. But can I say tonight, amen, He is Lord tonight, and it matters not. It matters not what you're going through. There is pleasure in the Lord's position in the Christian life. Amen. He's Lord. And as long, Brother Willis, He's Lord. He's got it all under control in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Shout all the way to Dandridge on Latin. Amen. The Lord's position in my life. Brother Tony, don't matter you getting ready to run over back to Vanderbilt. Amen. Amen. Y'all ever notice this? Tony don't ever lose his smile. Well, if you didn't know he was sick, you wouldn't know he was sick. Well, just come on in Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, sit down and pray and smile. Don't ever grumble, don't ever complain. You know why? I just have a feeling he's finding pleasure in the fact that the Lord's still on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Son, that's only two. I got five more. Some of y'all done quit on me. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I know, Lord, it gets bad sometimes. Lord, we get fretful and afraid, and we, Lord, don't know what to do. Lord, tonight we're thankful that You will show us the path of life. And in that path, as we walk by Your right hand, Lord, on Your right hand, Lord, there's pleasures forevermore. Lord, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Lord, we have confidence that our Lord will continue to reveal pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. Lord, we're not deceived tonight. We know that there's problems. We know there's troubles. Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we've studied, to find pleasure in the fact that we're preserved by the Lord. Lord, help us to find pleasure in His position as Lord over our life and all that we go through. Lord, we'll love and bless You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty.